You guys have grown up in the Midwest, and so you know that there's a certain warning signal that comes every first Wednesday of the month at 1 p.m., and often it comes when there's a storm called the tornado siren. And so I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, that siren seemed to go off all the time. And I knew I had two sisters. My poor dad had three daughters. But I was an athlete, so that helped him a little bit. But so here's these three girls at home, and the phone would ring. The sirens would go off, and the phone would ring, and it'd be my mom. And she'd say, "Girls, girls, grab your pillows, a flashlight, something to eat, and get beneath the ground. Go downstairs." And we're like, "Okay, Mom." So we gather up all our stuff, you know, chips, pop, all the essentials of life in case we're down there for a while. Flashlight, traipse down the stairs, you know. Now there we are, downstairs, got the TV on. She'd call back, she goes, "Did you open up the window? Remember, you're supposed to open up the window. Do you have the TV on? No, you should have the radio on." We're like, "Mother, we know what to do with the tornado warning." You know, and she's like, "Okay, now you girls stay there until you hear the all clear." So we were there for about a minute, and the phone rang again. And now you're thinking, that mother is overbearing. No, this time it's the dad. "Hey, Dad. Hey, girls, get your tennis shoes on and meet me out by the garage. Let's see if we can chase this thing." And so I grew up that way. Here's my mom. "Get downstairs. Be safe. Get your chips and your pop. You're okay, you know, and then get your tennis shoes on. Let's go." And so we'd run outside and we'd get in the car, and it was this big station wagon, you know, and it had paneling on the side, and my dad could get that thing up to 100, you know. And so he's like, "Okay, I heard it's on the west side of Bloomington," you know, and off we'd go. And he goes, "Can you see any trees falling?" And you're like, "No, no, look out further," you know, and you're hanging out the window. "Hey, Dad, I see them blowing over there," you know, and we go tearing over that way, and we go cruising around the trees. And one time we even came close enough to see the funnel cloud. And I go, "Dad, too close, too close. We're supposed to be in the basement. You know, bring us back to the basement." You know, but I have brought that kind of, "I'm safe. No, I'm an adventure," with almost all areas of my life. And so when I joined staff with Crew, we went through a long registration line, not nearly as effective as the one you went through the other day for TCX. Trust me on this. So we finally were traipsing through the line. We get to this room, and there's a map the size of the wall. And they hand me a thumbtack, and they say, "Candace, we're asking everyone to put a pin in the country of the world where you feel like if God were to call you there and make a way for you to go, you would go." And so I look in this world map, and all these pins are punched in there all over, and I'm kept looking over the United States. And so me and my thumbtack walked over here, and I put my pin in Minneapolis because my dream was to be on staff at the University of Minnesota. And I'm like, "Okay." So I put the little pin in there, and the lady came up, and she put her arm around me. And she said, "Oh, dear, dear." I'm like, "Who are you? And why do you have your hand around me? You know, like, you don't know me. I'm from the Midwest. We don't touch, okay?" So I'm like, she goes, "Dear, you must have misunderstood. You're supposed to put your pin in a country of the world." And I go, "Well, last time I checked, the United States was a country." And she goes, "No, no, no. That side of the map." And so, you know, I take my little thumbtack out of Minneapolis, and I walk over here, and I just jam it in Switzerland. And I'm like, "Switzerland's pretty. I wouldn't mind going there. They have fondue." You know, so. But had I known then what I know now of all the places I would go, we have a little video for you.
"Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away." You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know. And you are the guy who will decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. Out there, things can happen, and frequently do, to people as brainy and footsy as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew, just go right along. You'll start happening, too. Oh, the places you'll go. Wherever you fly, you'll be best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly, it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right, or right and three quarters, or maybe not quite, or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. All alone. Whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the hacken cracks howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Ali Van Allen O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way.
Yes, the places you'll go. So I even got this as a gift for Christmas. Now, I've been telling everybody around our Christmas tree, there were three tablets given, not like three-ring notebooks, but Samsung, that variety, a television, a Keurig machine, and I got a bag. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened there? You know, as I began my time on staff at Morehead State, I was up there for a while, Minnesota State Morehead now, and so I was there, and my girls in my Bible study, they said, Does crew ever send anybody to East Asia? But they said the real name. And I go, no, I don't think so. I know they'll go to Japan. And they go, well, it's close. It's not really. And I go, yeah, not really. And so I called up down to our headquarters. I go, do you ever send to East Asia? And they go, this summer, for the first time, we're going to send a group in for 2 weeks. And so they decided they were going to go, all four girls in my Bible study. And so they're all getting ready, and they think they're going to go for 2 weeks, and right at the day they're supposed to leave, they get a call, and they go, you're going to go for the whole summer. And they were beside themselves, and they're like, you should have come. And I go, no, Switzerland. You know, There's a distance between those two, you know. And so they came back, and they were so excited. And I remember the day we're sitting around, you know, you got your little coffee and stuff. We're sitting around, and one of the girls said, "Candace, I have something for you. Put out your hand." And, you know, don't ever play that game. So I'm like, fine. Do I have to close my eyes? No. Like, so she goes, "I brought you back something, but you have to bring it back." And so into my hand comes a piece of rock from a great wall. And I go, "I'm never going there. Put out your hand." And I put it back in her hand. And she goes, will you at least pray about it?" And I said, "No." So I did. You could ask her. And she goes, "What do you mean, no? You're the Bible study leader." And I go, "Yeah, and I know what happens when you pray." "Uh-uh, keep your rock." And she goes, "Will you at least read a book?" And she had me. You know, I love to read. I'm like, okay. And so she gives me Hudson Taylor's God's Man in East Asia. I'm like, shoot. Oh, man. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, oh, fine, I'll go. But you know, I was very, very reluctant, and almost you could use the word an unlikely candidate to ever be someone to bring the gospel around the world. This year, right before, I don't know when Advent started, because I'm not really all that religious. And so you could tell, what's Saturday, you know, so... So 4 weeks before Christmas, is that when Advent starts? Yeah, I got the candle and in the rings, and I don't understand when you light what, but I know you light candles. And so I'm reading Facebook, and someone goes, "Oh, you should do an Advent study." And I'm like, "Oh, I've just kind of finished my study of Romans," and I'm like, "Okay, I'll do an Advent study." And so I'm reading it one day, and this phrase, "unlikely candidate," came out, and I went, "I wonder what that means." And so I began thinking, because it was Advent and Christmas, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, if you've got your scriptures, or your phone, or your Kindle. I have my borrowed Bible, and we're ready to go. And so as soon as it's up, let's stand up and let's read together. Luke 2. Now, you should be familiar with this, because we just talked about it at churches around the country. So, you ready to read? One, two, ready, read.
In the days when Caesar Augustus, all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went out from Galilee, from a town named Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, with child. While they were there, time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby kept in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he was pleased." Went away from them into heaven. Shepherds said unto one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. All who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, all they had seen as it had been told to them.
All right, amen. And so this is a fantastic story of a bunch of people who are unlikely candidates. I mean, if you were to take the story, you know, and I'm, you know, I don't know which one here is Mary. I'm going to say this one. Yeah, they all kind of look the same right at the moment. And so, but Mary is about ready to have a child. Now, keep in mind, Mary is probably 15 or 16 years old. An angel appeared to her and said, "Hail, favored one, for God has chosen you to bear his son." And Mary has to remind the angel, "You've forgotten a few things. One, I'm a virgin. No babies. Two, I'm not married." And the angel said, "But you will have a son." And she says, "Be it done unto me." But you know, today, an unwed, non-married woman would be an unlikely candidate to bring the message of the good news. And yet Mary pondered these things in her heart, and she went with Joseph. And so we're gonna pick this one for Joseph. Now, Joseph must have been a very convincing man. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking a woman about ready to give birth to a child is not going to hop on the camel or the donkey all that easily and travel to another city. They're most likely are sitting at home saying, "I want to have this child." And yet Joseph, because he was from the lineage of David, he needed to travel to this city, Bethlehem. And as he convinced Mary to do it, he fulfilled the prophecy that the child would be born in Bethlehem. Again, you've got a teenage father who's agreed to marry Mary, and yet they go and they say, "We're obeying God. We're going to do it." An unlikely candidate. And then you've got the shepherds. You know, the shepherds were like the lowest of the lowest people in that time. They were constantly dirty. They worked 24/7. And yet they were the ones that God chose to bring his message to. And he goes to these shepherds and he says, "Hey, tonight the Savior's been born. And we want you to go and worship him." And immediately they left their flocks and they went and they told Mary and Joseph, "You'll never believe it. An angel appeared." And they go, "Yeah, we know. We've seen these angels. And it's amazing because here's this baby. And it's Christ, the Lord's Savior." If you were to go over to Matthew chapter 2, you'd hear about the wise men who also followed history. And then a star appeared and they said, "His star's in the sky." And they began following the star until they came to the manger and they brought his gifts. Again, unlikely candidates. Not the people you would choose to be the ones who would be the first people to hear the good news of Christ. There's all sorts of unlikely candidates. I love Scripture. I love this book because it is filled with people who help me know that as unlikely as it is that God would choose me and send me all around the world with his gospel, that he's going to use all of us. There's a guy in here. How many of you have heard of the famous guy, Hur? Do you remember when Moses and all the Israelites were battling, and Moses, every time he raised his hand and he raised his staff, the battle would, they would win? And then his arms began to become tired. Well, Hur is the guy they went and found to hold up Moses' arms. He's the guy behind the scenes. He's the guy today who would be running the cameras or working the info desk, or the operations people who work the computers. He's the unlikely guy who's behind the scenes, but yet when he held Moses' arms up, the battle was won. And then you have another guy. Well, we already know about Jonah. Yeah. How about Balaam? Now, I'm not talking about Balaam, but I'm talking about Balaam's donkey. You know, so Balaam is another guy who God said, you know, don't go with these people. And he goes to the people, I'm not going with you. God says no. And then they come back and they go, you got to come with us. And he goes, no, God says no. Please. Oh, fine. And so he gets on his donkey and he's going with them and the donkey smashes him into the wall. And he like beats the donkey and he's like, donkey, you're a good donkey. Why are you smashing me into the wall? You know, and but the donkey had seen an angel of the Lord. Are you getting a picture here? And so the donkey saw it and I'm not going forward. I see an angel of the Lord. And so finally he's like beating the donkey and the donkey all of a sudden starts talking to him. Now it's not like Shrek, you know, so come on. This is a miracle. God opened the donkey's mouth. And the donkey says, don't you see the angel? Haven't I been a good donkey to you? I'm trying to protect you. And so God helped Balaam be obedient through a donkey. If you were to move into the New Testament, there's a person, the demoniac. We know him most famously as being naked and out of his mind. And so, again, an unlikely candidate. And yet, when Christ went to him and cast the demons out of him, and the demons went into the herd of pigs and went down and drowned themselves, and he goes, Jesus, let me follow you. I just want to follow you. And Jesus said, no, you need to return to your city and tell them what great things God has done to you. And so the man known as naked and out of his mind returns to the city clothed in his right mind. And it said that that man went and reached 10 cities for Christ. A very unlikely candidate. There's Zacchaeus. Now, for those of you who were raised in Awana, he was a wee little man. So Zacchaeus, he was a cheat and a crook and a tax collector. You know, and he climbs up this tree because he wants to see who this Jesus is. And he gets a look at Jesus, and Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down here. Today I must eat in your house. And Zacchaeus came to faith in Christ and repaid all the people that he needed to repay. Zacchaeus, again, an unlikely candidate. And then as Jesus was walking the road to Golgotha, as he's going to his crucifixion, and the scripture said he was beaten, and he wasn't even recognizable as a man. And as he falls down, they pull a man out of the crowd, Simon of Cyrene, and they say, you, Simon, carry this cross. And Simon's like, I was just in the crowd. And he picks up the cross, and Simon carried the very cross of Christ. Again, an unlikely candidate. I was reading the story of Gladys Allworth. If you've ever heard of her, she was called the Little Woman of China. There was a Hollywood movie, The Inn of Seventh Happiness, that maybe you could get it in Netflix. It's probably free. It's old. But I love this story, but Gladys felt like God had called her to China. And so she quit her job as a parlor maid, and she went and she signed up at Hudson Taylor's School for China Inland Mission in London, and she goes to school every day for 3 months. And she's 27, you know, and so she's there, and she's like, I just know God's called me here. And after 3 months, the school directors called her in their office and said, Gladys, you're never going to make it. And so they kicked her out of school. And so I don't know how many people say no to a willing missionary, but they said, Gladys, you won't do it. So Gladys went home, and she tells the story. She goes, I took my bags, and I walked up the room to my room up in the attic, and I took my Bible out of my valise, and I put it on the table. And I got on my knees, and if this wasn't so tall, I would do this. I got on my knees, and I took out my purse, and I took out all the money I had, and I put it on my Bible. And I said, Lord Jesus, you now have all that I have. And she said she had 3 pennies and a half pence. And that doesn't sound like a lot to me, but that's all she had. And she goes, and I know you have all of me. Let's figure out a way to get me to China. And so Gladys Allworth began working as a parlor maid again, and she went to the travel agent, and she said to the travel agent, how much does it cost to get me to China? And they said, well, if you're to take a boat, it'll cost 97 pounds. And she goes, okay. Is there another way? And they said, a train. You could take a train, 47 pounds. And she goes, all right, I'll book a passage on the train. And every week I'm going to come in and I'm going to give you some money towards my ticket. And the guy goes, oh, we don't do it that way. You have to come in with the full money. And she goes, you'll do it for me. And he goes, okay. And so every week, Gladys came in, and she gave him his money, her money. And then finally the day came. And you've got to read this story of how she got to China. So she finally gets there, and she's joining a missionary over there. And the missionary goes, why did you come? You can't speak the language, and look at you. You look like a foreigner. She goes, I am a foreigner. You know, and so and she goes, but I'm here, and God has called me. Gladys Allworth, a very unlikely candidate. But what you need to know is Gladys Allworth started the inn that brought in all the mule train drivers that went all over the country. And as they led the mule train drivers to Christ, the gospel went out through that whole country. And then the governor of the province said, Gladys, I need someone who will go inspect the feet of all the children, all the girl children, because we can no longer bind their feet. And I need you to go to the villages and see if they have not bound the feet of the girls. And she goes, I'll go if I can tell the stories of Jesus. He goes, of course you can tell the stories of Jesus. And I will pay for you to go. And so Gladys went to all the villages and was able to talk about Jesus. In the end, when the Japanese came in and the country was at war, Gladys Allworth ended up bringing over 100 orphan children to safety. Gladys Allworth was an unlikely candidate. Today, you guys went out. You went to places where you had to use OnStar to come back. Come on. You know, you went to the city, you know, and you went, this is kind of scary. Are the doors locked? And so even though I'm from Minneapolis, I often will, you know, I'm driving down the street and I'm like, click, you know, and so I'm sure I'm like, can they hear it when it clicks, you know, and so, but you know, you went out and you trusted the Lord. You brought the boxes of food, and you saw that God brought you to the exact right people. So we think of Joseph, and we think of Mary, and we think of the shepherds, and we think of her, and we think of the demoniac, and we think of Simon of Cyrene, who was just a bystander in the crowd, and yet God called him to carry the cross of Christ, as he calls us to carry that cross of Christ. Every single one of you, just turn to your neighbor and say, you're an unlikely candidate. Yeah, turn the other way. You're an unlikely candidate too. That's right. We are all unlikely candidates, but yet Jesus has called us to bring his message to the world. That is fantastic news, that we don't have to have special gifts. We don't have to be great at something. We can be kicked out of the missionary school because God uses unlikely candidates. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for that day that I put my pin in Minneapolis and you wouldn't let it stay there. I am so, so grateful that you have called each one of us, as unlikely as we are, to be bearers of your good news. What a privilege that is. What a privilege that is. And remind us as we look through your word that you use the hers, and you use donkeys, and you use the lowest of society, the shepherds, and you'll use us. As we open our Bibles and we put all that we have and we make sure you have all of us. And that's what we pray, Father, that you would have all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.